Joshua chapter 18. And our text for tonight is the third verse. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Subject for this evening is possessing our possessions. Joshua had led Israel over Jordan and into Canaan. He led his men of war against the Canaanites and had defeated them. Children of Israel could now go and possess the land. Yet, not all had done so. For we read in the second verse of Joshua 18, And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. It was not as if their portion of the land or their inheritance had not been given to them. It had, and all that the seven tribes needed to do was to go and possess their possessions. Yet why had the seven tribes not yet claimed their possessions? Why had they not claimed their inheritance in the land of Canaan? Surely the words we find in the first verse gives us one of the reasons. The tabernacle had been moved from Gilgal to Shiloh. And the tabernacle had been set up in Shiloh. And then we have that one sentence in verse 1 which says, And the land was subdued before them. The land was subdued. The Canaanites had been defeated. Most of the cities had been conquered. What more needed to be done? Nothing. Nothing. But for the children of Israel to go and to claim the land and make it theirs. Yet seven tribes had refused to do that. And because the land was subdued before them, it would appear that these seven tribes had fallen into a state of complacency. There was no real desire to push on and claim their portion of the land. In many ways, they are like some modern-day Christians. Yes, they are saved all right, but complacency prevents them from pressing on and so make no progress in their spiritual life. No serious efforts to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. They are reluctant to bear the cross, yet they imagine, they believe the crown is theirs. Where there's no crown, or where there's no cross, there's no crown. They do not engage themselves in the good fight of faith. Yet suppose they had laid hold of eternal life. They do not strive to please the Lord in obeying His word. Yet they think to obtain the reward of the inheritance. So how did Joshua remedy this situation where the seven tribes had become lazy, had become complacent? They were sitting at ease in Zion, even though their inheritance lay before them. All they had to do was to go up and possess their possessions. First of all, we see the challenge. Here we see that Joshua challenged the seven tribes regarding their complacency and laziness. For he says in verse 3, "How long are ye slack? How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you?" It becomes slack. It becomes lazy. How we all need to be challenged by our Joshua from time to time. We need to be challenged about our spiritual progress. Just as Paul challenged the Hebrew believers that we read about in Hebrews chapter 5. Paul challenged them. So, likewise, as God's people, we always need to be challenged, as we've said, about our spiritual walk, our spiritual progress, how we're doing with God from the day the Lord saved us. And there in Hebrews 5 and verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Brother Milosh touched on that this morning. Saul was to give heed to the word of the Lord, but he didn't do it. Many ways he was dull of hearing. Paul speaking here to the Hebrew believers. He says, "I have many more things to say unto you, but ye are dull of hearing." In other words, they've been turning a deaf ear to the word. Terrible thing to do, to turn a deaf ear to God's word. "For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers," speaking to believers, "for when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." What's Paul saying? Because they had turned a deaf ear to the word, they ought to have been, for the length of time they were Christians, for the length of time they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they ought to have been teachers of the word. They ought to have been able to teach others. But Paul says, you need to be taught, you need to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, Paul is saying, you ought to be teachers, but instead you need to learn the ABC of the Word of God. That's simply what he's saying. You need to be learning your ABCs. As far as spiritual matters are concerned, "and are become such as have need of milk." We give milk to babies. Peter said, "Desire the sincere milk of the word, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby." Babies need milk. You wouldn't give strong meat to a baby. Paul was not able to give to some of these Hebrew believers the strong meat of God's word because they had made no progress at all. They were still learning the ABC. There are many believers, and they've been saved for a long time, and yet they would not be able to name the 66 books of the Bible. They'd be stuck. Tell them to name the minor prophets. Wouldn't be able to do it. And even though they've been saved a long time, and that's only learning the books of the Bible, it's not even getting into the Bible. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful. The word unskillful there means no experience. For everyone that uses milk is unexperienced, has no experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. In other words, those who have grown up spiritually are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that's why so many professing believers are taken in today by every new thing that comes upon the scene. It appeals to them. They're like following the Pied Piper of Babylon. Oh, others are doing this, so we must do it too. And they're taken in. Why? Because they don't know the Word. They don't know the Word. They're still in their ABCs. They cannot discern between good and evil. And Paul challenged the Hebrew believers. And quite pointedly as well. He said, you're still babies. You ought to be grown men and women speaking to them spiritually. You ought to be teachers of the word. And you're still sitting in the classroom at your desk, having to be taught the ABC, the first principles of the gospel. And here we have Joshua's challenge, first of all, to the seven tribes. Seven tribes, seven of them. Joshua had to challenge no less than seven tribes. He wasn't challenging one or two. Seven of them. Seven of them were affected by this spirit of laziness, complacency. It had spread amongst them. And this shows how laziness and complacency can spread amongst professing believers. If you keep company with someone who's full of zeal for the Lord, that'll rub off on you. That'll rub off on you. And at the same time, if you keep company with someone who's lazy and complacent and doesn't really care much about holiness, living righteously in a wicked world, then you'll become like that person too. You'll be like the company that you keep. Paul told the Galatian believers, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In other words, the leaven of laziness and complacency had spread throughout the seven tribes. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This just proves how infectious is the spirit of sloth and laziness. Solomon states in Proverbs 19, verse 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. An idle soul. The seven tribes could not say. They were full. They couldn't say, we have taken possession of our possessions. No. They were suffering, as it were, hunger. No, we don't want to be slothful in our Christian life. Instead, our motto ought to be, as we were singing tonight, I'm pressing on the upward way. Up, I'm going up. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet. That ought to be our prayer. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. want to get to higher ground. I want to go on from where I am now. I want to make more spiritual progress. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Be not slothful, but followers of them. See? Whatever company you keep, that's what you'll be. Followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Canaan's called the land of promise, and yet the seven tribes had not inherited their portion of it through laziness. So he addressed and challenged the seven tribes. He addressed these tribes as the slow tribes. They were slow to go and possess their possessions. That's why Joshua said, "How long are ye slack to go to possess the land? How long? How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to sit here?" From these words we can see that the seven tribes had been in this state for a long time. Joshua says, how long? They'd been slow to possess their possessions. No longer meeting with any open opposition in Canaan, they settled down to rest. Those tribes were satisfied with what they had. And really, they didn't have very much. There was far more for them to have. There was far more for them to take possession of. But they had no desire to go on and possess their possessions. Joshua challenges them, saying, how long? How long are you going to remain in this present, lazy, complacent state? They had been like Moab. We read in Jeremiah 48 and verse 11, Moab, who had been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lease. I'm sure you've come across that phrase before. Settled on his lease. What does it mean? It refers to wine making. I know absolutely nothing about it, that job, either making the wine or drinking the stuff. But the lees are the, what settles at the bottom of the vat when wine has been made. In other words, it's the dregs that settle down at the bottom of the vat when wine has been made. So what do you have here? Moab, who had been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lees. In other words, Moab was satisfied with the dregs of life. Had no desire to get up from that. Had no desire to go on from that. And there are many a Christian like that. They're satisfied with what they have now. How long? Joshua said, how long are you slack to go to possess the land? How long are you going to sit there and do nothing? Even though the Lord God has given you an inheritance, how long are you going to wait before you go and claim it? They were sitting at ease in Zion, and there's many a professing believer like that, sitting at ease in Zion. How long has it been since we have been stirred up in our souls to accomplish something for God, to do something for God? How long has it been since we have examined our walk with God to see if we have strayed from His side, to see if we are following far off? Seven tribes had entered Canaan, made no progress. Like those who were saved, but they make no progress. Colossians 1 verse 23. Paul says, continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What did he say? Continue. Not stop, not stand still, not sit down, not sit at ease. He says, continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Philippians 2 and verse 12, Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean that we're saved by our works. Not at all. There's a bit of a difference in Paul saying, work out, and those who sit down at ease, where there's no working at all being done. In other words, we work out how we can go on with God through the study of the Word, through the hearing of the Word, and through prayer. We're all familiar with the words of exhortation that come from the Apostle Peter. For there in Peter 1, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, and beside this, what we already are, what we already have, Peter says, beside this, giving all diligence. Be diligent about the matter. Don't be lazy. Be diligent. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Just sitting at ease in Zion. See, the Christian life is a going on, it's an adding to, it's a growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We can say our amens to that. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. As well as the challenge being put to the seven tribes and the slow tribes, Joshua also described them as slack. They were slack tribes. Because Joshua said, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land? Notice the word. They were slack to go. We've often heard and maybe used the expression about an individual and you say, oh, there's no go in that boy at all. There's just no go in him. I remember a man talking about Christians. He says some of them are wheelbarrow Christians. You know what you have to do with a wheelbarrow? You have to push it all the time. It's not going to go itself. There's some believers like that. You have to push them all the time to get something done or to get them do something. The word slack here means to relax. The word means to let down. In other words, to let down your hands. That's it. The hands are let down. The seven tribes were, as it were, in a relaxed position and state of mind. They should have been going on, possessing the land, claiming their inheritance. They were just relaxed. And they were satisfied with it. Further indication that these seven tribes had become lazy. Nobody likes to be called lazy or described as lazy, but the seven tribes were lazy and slothful and gave preference to ease and pleasure instead to the work of possessing the entire land. We're called upon to be laborers for the Lord. Laborers. The Lord wants us to be laborers, not lazy, but laborers. Didn't the Lord say to his disciples, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest? We're not only called upon to be laborers, we're called upon to be plowmen. Luke 9, verse 62. No man having put his hand to the plow, and looking back. In other words, putting his hand to the plow, plowing for a while, and then taking his hand off the plow and looking back. What did the Lord Jesus say? No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's the Lord's own word. It's not something that has been made up by a preacher. Spoken by the Lord Jesus himself. So the Christian is to be a man or a woman of action. A laborer in the Lord's work. In our walk with God, there is to be action. There is to be a going on. There's to be a going up. There's to be a going forward. There's definitely to be a going. Not sitting, relaxing. That can be done after the work is done. There should be no place for slackness in the Christian life. The Lord said to his people, Zephaniah 3:16, let not thy hands be slack. Solomon said in Proverbs 10, verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. That's a great verse. When you apply it to the spiritual man, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. If we're slack, if we're lazy, you can guarantee we will be poor spiritually. We'll be spiritual paupers. Spiritual paupers. Solomon goes on to say, but the hand of the diligent make us rich. And being diligent in the things of God will lead to spiritual prosperity. That was the challenge that Joshua put out to the seven tribes. As well as the challenge, there came the command. Verse 3, you have the challenge. And in verse 3, Joshua asks a question. The question being, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Question mark. You get to verse 4, and Joshua didn't even wait to listen for a reply. He asked the question in verse 3, and verse 4 he gives the command. He didn't even wait for an answer. I have a sort of feeling that Joshua, when he challenged him and said, why are you so long? Why are you so slack? Why are you so slow in possessing your possessions? He didn't wait for an answer. And I feel he didn't wait for an answer because he didn't want to hear any excuses. Because that's probably what he would have got. Instead, the challenge in verse 3, the command in verse 4. Give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise up and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. These words came, first of all, from the servant of the Lord, Joshua. See what happened here? He didn't wait for a response. He didn't wait for a reply. When he asked them, why were they so long? But then he gave the command. In other words, the servant of the Lord, Joshua, took command of the situation. He took command. Of course, he was Israel's commander anyway. But he didn't want to hear any excuses. He just took command of the situation. And he said to them, give out from among you 3 men. Go and get 3 men out of your tribes. Of the 21 men. It's true, isn't it? When a Christian is not living as he ought for the Lord, he needs to put the Lord in command. He needs to put our Joshua in command. Because only our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, can rectify the situation. Whether the believer is backslidden, cold of heart, or become complacent, then the Lord must be put in command of the situation. Because he's the only one who can change things. You can read all the books that you can find in the world. The Lord is the one who makes the change. You know these how-to books. So-called Christian stores are full of them. How to this and how to that and how to the other thing. It's the only book you need there. It gives you all the how-tos that you need. When your Lord is in command, a person's life will change. The hymn writer Edwin Hatch put it very well. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until my will is one with thine, to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with fire divine. Really, that is what is needed. A revival of religion in the soul. That'll shake us out of our laziness. and our complacency. All who have become slack in their Christian duties do well to repeat the words of Ezra, that our God may lighten our eyes, give us a little reviving in our bondage. Because being lazy, really, is like being in bondage. In bondage to laziness. You're the servant of the Lord, you're the stirring of the lazy. Remember what Joshua said in his challenge, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land? How long are you slack to go? Joshua made it clear that the seven tribes, that there was no go in them. Well, here is his command. He tells them, verse 4, rise and go through the land. If anybody could stir up the seven tribes, it was Joshua. He was a man who was highly respected and regarded. After all, he had led Israel over Jordan, conquered Jericho and Ai and the other cities. He had never failed them, never let them down. He was respected, and so when Joshua came and said, arise and go, he expected the men to do just that. If anybody could stir them up, it was Joshua. And if anyone can stir up the Christian, it's our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezra 1 and verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, at the word of the Lord, by the mouth of Jeremiah, which might be filled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. The Lord's the one who does the stirring. The Lord is the one who's able to stir up the lazy and get them out of their laziness and get them out of their state of complacency. Is that not what we all need? Need to be stirred up. It's true, isn't it? Go by day, week by week, month, year by year. Just satisfied with what we have. There's no real desire to get to a higher plane with God. As the Lord uses his servants and his word to do that very thing, to stir up his people. So the Lord used Peter. For we read in 2 Peter 1 verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in other words, as long as I'm in this body, as long as I'm alive, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Peter was saying, that's my task. That's my job. That's my calling. As long as I am in this tabernacle, I'm here to stir you up. To put you in remembrance. Put you in remembrance of what God has said, what God expects, what God wants you to do. So if a challenging word or command is used by the Lord's servant to stir us up, then it's worth it. Something along the lines of what we heard this morning. Again, giving heed to the word. What had The Hebrew believers, don't they, were dull of hearing. They turned a deaf ear to the word. And what was the result? They were spiritual babies, spiritual infants. Terrible testimony. But the Lord sends His servants to stir up His people through the word. And a word comes to us to stir us up. You know what we should do? Accept it. It's from the Lord. Not balk against it. Not get our back up against it. But say, Lord, I receive Thy word. Apply it to my heart and to my life. We've seen then the servant of the Lord. The word came from Joshua to stir up the lazy. And then this command involved the search of the land. If the seven tribes were to possess their possessions, they were to do what Joshua commanded. Verses 4, 5, and 6. They were to go and search the land. They're going to look at their inheritance. They were to go forth through the land. They would see what a goodly inheritance the Lord had provided for them. My Joshua was a wise man. He sent three representatives from the seven tribes and sent them to go and search the land that they could see how good the land was, to let them see what the seven tribes were missing by being lazy. In other words, he sent them out to see how good the land was. And remember, it had originally been described as a land flowing with milk and honey. And Joshua believed that when the 21 who represented the seven tribes went and saw how good the land was that the Lord had provided for them, that would be enough to stir them up and get them going. After all, they hadn't experienced anything, basically, of Canaan. And they're like those believers. They're saved and they're stuck. And they haven't really experienced anything of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're like somebody standing at the seashore. And they go up to the edge of the water and they dip their toe in the water, and that's as far as they go. And they go back and they sit down. Some believers like that. They have not experienced all that is to be found in Christ. And there's an ocean of blessing to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, so many believers are just standing at the water's edge. They're saved, as was said, and basically that's it. They never get any further. Never experience all that is in Christ. Even though Paul speaks about the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Romans 11, verse 33. That's what's in Christ. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. They've yet to experience and sample anything of the unsearchable riches of Christ, because they're too lazy, too complacent. They believe they're saved and they reckon, well, that's enough. I don't know. Yes, it's enough to be saved, but how do they know they're saved if there's no fruit, as again our brother Milosh mentioned this morning? The prophet puts it well, Hosea 6 and verse 3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Then shall we know if we follow on, if we follow on to know the Lord. We'll know more about Christ if we follow on, but not learn anything about Christ if we just sit at ease in Zion. In the last place, you have the conformity. Joshua gave the orders, and the representatives of the seven tribes conformed to his orders, verses 8 and 9. Here we are given their response. They could have turned, like the Hebrew believers, a deaf ear to the words of Joshua, but they didn't. Instead, they gave heed to the words of Joshua, and the men arose and went away. Verse 8. They had been sitting at ease, as indicated by the fact that the men arose. They had to get up. And the word of the Lord comes to us, a challenging word, a word of command. Let's be honest. How do we receive it? Do we take it to heart? Or do we dismiss it? Saying, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it does. God's word applies to us all. No matter what that word is about. In Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, they simply didn't receive it. They just didn't accept it. And so the word did not profit them. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. They'll turn away from God's truth, and they'll embrace foolish fables. We're living in that day now. That day has come. We need to keep preaching the word. You have their response, and then you have their reward. You look there in the verse 10. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. They possessed their possessions at long last. Oh, why didn't they do it before? I believe that's what many a Christian would say, who's been stirred by the Lord out of a state of lethargy and laziness, but saying, I wish I was stirred before. I just didn't know what I was missing in Christ. Possessing our possessions. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord our God, we thank Thee for the word. Challenging word. May we indeed possess our possessions. Save us, Lord, from being lazy. Save us, Lord, from sitting at ease in Zion. Save us, Lord, from sitting on our lees, being satisfied with the dregs, Lord, of this life. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts tonight. Bless us as we part the one from the other. Grant us the blessing of the triune God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.